in this church. It's a glorious church. I didn't join, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, I'm gonna sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. I didn't join, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. I'm in this church.
It's a glorious church. I did not join, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, we're going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. Give me a verse.
When Jesus came, He was left out. There was no place where He was welcome here on earth. But He had a plan.
Oh, yes, He did.
For a house that shall forever stand. He spoke these words upon this rock.
I want you to sing about it. Oh, I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. I did not join. I was born. I had a new birth. Some glorious day, we're going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church.
When Jesus came, He was left out.
Oh, thank You, Lord.
There was no place where He was welcome here on earth. But He had a plan.
Yes, Lord.
House that shall forever stand. Hold words upon this rock. I build my church.
Oh, let's sing about it. I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. I did not join. I was born.
I had a new birth.
Oh, yes, Lord. Some glorious day. We're going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. Aren't you glad you're in the church? Hallelujah. Well, what a privilege it is once again to be back in the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Are you glad to be in camp meeting tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, we're glad to have you here tonight. We've come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I'm glad we've got it both. We've got the spirit and we have the truth. Aren't you glad for truth tonight? Do you appreciate freedom in the truth? A lot of folks leaving the message said, I've never been as free. But really, they've never been as bound. I'm glad we're free tonight. He has made us free. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in the house of God tonight. What a privilege it is. Play some more of that if you will.
Play it. Play it. Play it.
Hey, buddy. Good to see you, man. God bless you. God bless you. Good to see you guys. God bless you. Good to see you. Oh, I did not join. I was born, had a new birth. Some glorious day, we're going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. Are you in this church? It's a glorious church. I did not join. I was born, had a new birth. Some glorious day, we're going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request tonight. I want to keep Sister Rachel Estep in prayer. She had her thyroid removed Thursday. She is home and doing well, but needs our prayer. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Sister Linda Short says to please pray for Brother Bernard Short. He's having problems with his heart, needs a touch from our Lord. So we want to remember that need tonight. We want to pray for Brother Greg, Sister Shirley Robbins. Both are sick, unable to be in the house of the Lord. So let's pray for those needs tonight. Sister Linda Jablonski says she wants to thank you for praying for her father. While he was here, he passed away this past Thursday morning. Please keep my sisters in your prayers. I love you all so much. So we just commit that family to the Lord and ask God to be with them. Brother Samuel Shuffler, he wants to let all of you know that he loves you and he needs healing in his body for different various things. We appreciate little Brother Samuel too. So Brother Samuel, we're going to just commit you to the Lord. God's able to give you the desires of your heart, and we just pray that the Lord would touch you tonight. Brother Andrew Kennedy says, I am desperate for work. Please pray about this with me. So let's ask the Lord to give our brother work, that he may find a job out here in the workforce somewhere. God's got something for him. We believe that, don't we? Brother Reese says that his cousin Ralph Necessary is doing much better. He is in rehab. Thank you so much for your prayers. So we just praise the Lord for that. Ask God to help him. Sister Linda wants us to remember her husband, Bill. He's been hurting in his stomach for about 3 weeks, so let's pray for that need tonight as we pray. And then we have some folks visiting with us tonight from West Seneca, New York, Brother Al and Sister Dawn Stevens, Max and Alex Stevens. Where are you folks at? Would you just raise your hand tonight right here? Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. They stream our services, and they're here live with us tonight. So God bless you. We're glad to have you. Do you have an unspoken prayer request tonight? Something you'd like for this group to pray about? How many of you know that God's bigger than whatever your problem is? Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? God is able to give you the desires of your heart. If we ask according to His will, He'll answer every time. I believe His will is what He's seeking in our lives. Do you believe that tonight? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We know that God is able, don't we? Let's sing a little chorus just before we pray over these requests tonight. Just commit these things unto the Lord. Let's sing that little chorus. We want to give Him some thanks tonight. God has done so much for us. Do you love Him tonight with all your heart? Somebody say, praise the Lord. We want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks. Oh, all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Brother Skip, come tonight. Pray over these deeds. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this room tonight. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's just everybody pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we're happy as always, Lord, to be in the house with the saints of Lock Precious Faith, Lord. We're still living, Lord, off what we heard last weekend. It just worked in our lives so greatly, Lord. It's when a special meeting comes like that, it's just custom made for the people that's here, Lord. And I'm so thankful. I still thank you for it, Lord. I appreciate it and ask that you'd speak to us tonight and through our pastor. And you see all these requests, Lord. There's many sick and needy among us. There's many that's maybe doing things they shouldn't do, and it's a late hour, Lord. And we're asking most of all for the sick requests that come in right here, Lord, and the many requests. They have a faith that we can get through to you somehow. And we're asking you, Lord, we know you're mindful of them, Lord. It just takes faith. We just have to believe, and we do believe, Lord. You're a healer. We've seen it through the years many, many times. And we ask now, Lord, that you would anoint each one. Anoint our ears that we might hear especially, Father. We need you, Lord. We're so great in need of you. We see that the move is on. We really believe the move is on, Lord, for the bride, Lord. It's something going on right now, Lord. It's just so different, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. Just help us, Lord. Be with our pastor. Speak through him, Lord Jesus. We're just so anxious to hear him every week, Lord. And we thank you for him and thank you for the people here. In Jesus' name we love you. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Skip. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming this service tonight, I pray it'll be a blessing to them. It's just good to be a Christian. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I can't think of nowhere in this world I'd rather be than right here. How about you tonight? Are you glad to be here? Let's sing this song tonight. You help me. Let's sing it together. Didn't I walk on the water? You know, if he can do those things in Bible days, he can help you here tonight. Whatever your problem is, he can help you here tonight. Do you believe that with all your heart? As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance that everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see a battle out in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said, I walked on the water, and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again.
He said, do you remember where I brought you from?
Oh, yes, sir.
Just take a look behind you.
Oh. I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bells are coming due,
Lord.
6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so sweet. still and low. He said, I've moved like that before.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm gonna do this little thing for you. Oh, and I'll give you so much more.
Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind. It hushed and I gave you peace. Call. I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all. Do the rest of that chorus.
He said, do you remember, child, where I brought you from?
All I get, Brother Larry.
Take a look around you.
Oh,
see how far you've come. And every time you ask me,
oh,
haven't I delivered you? So why would you be thinking,
oh,
that
the
I wouldn't see a good?
Oh, did I walk on the water? Did I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind. It hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin?
I searched until I found you. And I do.
Hallelujah. Can you sing that second verse for me one more time? How many of you have ever faced, and we all probably have, dire situations in our life? We didn't know what was going to happen to us next. By the way, we're glad to have Sister Deanna back with us tonight. Brother Wes, glad to have you here tonight. Sister Linda, Rinnemoss, God bless you. Sister Lisa, glad to have you. Give the Lord a hand tonight for these folks being back with us in the services. Praise the Lord. We've all faced situations we didn't know what the answer was. Didn't know where the problem was going to be solved. Didn't know that we had a way out. How many times has He come on the scene? Has He come on the scene for you? Has He?
Amen.
Sing this verse, Brother Harry.
Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home.
Sing
she
it.
Said, my bills are coming due, Lord.
Sing it to him,
Six
church.
6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. He says, I've moved like that before.
Oh,
child,
I'll
do this little thing
little
for
favor.
You, and I'll give,
I'll
you,
give
so
you so much,
much
more. Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind. It hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall.
Didn't I leave all of heaven?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I searched until I found you, child. I do it all again.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. Brother Joel Brown's going to come and give us a song. Had a request to sing The Virgin Bride. Brother Joel, we'd like to hear you sing that. And we want you to come and bless us with that song. We appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen. Give him a nice hand tonight as he sings. I love you, buddy.
I say boo devil. As some of you may know, but I won't take too much time with it, but not certainly to give the devil any glory, but I have a condition in my eyes that my corneas are deteriorating. And this time of year just wreaks havoc on them, and bright lights and just everything is just... So if you see me, especially the brothers, I'm not winking at you. And the sisters too. I've got my wife. I ain't looking for you. But just when you think of me, just pray for me. And it just it's a little tough. I'm not giving the devil any glory, but I just wanted you all to know if I was looking at you funny or strange, you know, that's what's going on. I'm not down, sad, or anything like that. I just not been crying, I don't guess. But boo devil.
She was a virgin bride to be. And one night as she lay quietly, the Spirit of the Lord overshadowed her, and said that you'll conceive a child that sin cannot defile. And she said, be it unto me according to thy word. And she kept the time of darkness we have come. Received a vindicated word that we all have heard, and I can see it being born in you.
Understand it all? No, 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 no.
Now if this word could be born in Mary, then I believe it can be born in you and me. Because we and ponder them. one time felt desirous to depart. Now if this word could be born in Mary, then I believe it can be born in you. Yes, if this word could be born in Mary, then I believe it can be born in Happy Valley.
Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate that song tonight. Let's stand, if you will. I didn't have it written down, but if you would remember our little grandson, Drew, tonight, he's got strep and just feeling very, very bad. So if you would pray for that little child tonight, that the Lord would touch him. You want to pray for your pastor tonight as he comes to bring you the word of the Lord? Are you glad that you love your pastor? Are you glad you love his ministry? Praise the Lord. We're so blessed, and we thank God for the ministry that he's placed us under. He's placed us here, and we're glad for that. Let's sing that chorus tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Jesus, draw me close. Let's sing it tonight. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Lift the word. Fade away. Oh, Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. I desire to worship and obey. Once again, oh Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Lift the world around me, let it fade away.
To worship and obey. Amen. God bless you, saints. Happy to be in the house of God.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. I want to speak to you tonight on after the falling away. After the falling away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, neither by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, and they'll have a lot of means. Right, by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now look at this word, what it means. Destruction, waste, pernicious, destroying, utter destruction. So the son of perdition, look what he is. The son of waste. So the end time cannot come until there comes a falling away first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, if we ever find Brother Branham doing that, I say we should brand him Antichrist. But of course, since he didn't, I think we should brand him who Antichrist, whose objective and motive is to be this. That's right. As God reveals to us his word and opens his word, we know that the opposition of demonology must intensify as we get closer to the end. Because they are anxious, even as we are anxious. They are so pressed for the urgency of the time. So we realize that times will become more difficult. But as long as the restrainer is here, we'll be okay.
Hallelujah.
But Brother Donnie, what if he leaves? Well, when he does, we'll leave with him. Oh, happy day. Praise the Lord. So let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Heavenly Father, as we read your word, we know, Father God, that you had your apostle and prophet Paul to write this so many, many years ago. We are thankful for the Spirit of God being able to illuminate a prophet to be able to write prophetically, to set it down in such a way that it would be so descriptive thousands of years after it was written. I've wondered many times how these men must have read what they wrote under the inspiration of God, and they sat there baffled by what was there. Did they try to understand it and think about it? What does it really mean? What does it all say? Because we know you might have inspired them to write it, but if you didn't give them the understanding of it, they just left it the way you wrote it and went on. Maybe they went to their grave really wondering, what did it all mean? Did Isaiah ever really understand all of his visions, all of his prophecies? Did Jeremiah foresee it? Sure, we know he did. But did he understand, comprehend? Oh, Lord, we are grateful that we live in the day when the manifestation of these things are coming to pass. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your power and your presence among us. Lord, I have in my pocket here, in my shirt pocket, a prayer cloth. Dear God, for this child up in Indiana, you see this heart situation, Lord. I lay my hand on this piece of cloth, Lord, and I wear it next to my body as I preach tonight. May you move for this child. May you touch Morgan's body. May you be able to move, Father, we ask. Speak to us tonight from your very heart, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I don't know about you, I'm so glad to still be standing in a fallen way. It's a great paradox, really, to still be standing in a fallen way. And we know that, no doubt, it will become worse as we go along. But for the people of God, it doesn't really make any difference when you move from one degree to another, because they're going to be left standing whenever it's all said and done anyway. But yet, when we think that God had so wanted and so desired that we would be illuminated to be able to understand what would happen in this day. And we know that these scriptures have been read for well over 2,000 years since it was written. And yet many people down through the ages have desired to understand it. And let me say this to you, that it is not just those of us who follow the teachings of Brother Branham that are able to understand and see this portion of scripture. Now there's many things that great theologians and Bible scholars and commentators, it was just hell. It was withheld from them. They did not see it. As I study and I look at these various things, I find it so amazing that so many of these men that lived in the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, early 1900s, they was able to see the Son of Perdition, even able to identify that it was the Catholic Church, able to identify and see that it was the Latin move of the Popish move that was going to finally dominate the world at the end time. And yet many of those men who saw that remained Trinitarians their entire life. And yet they would still be so off the word in other things. So you see that God was the one who allowed them to see certain things. But if God did not do it, they couldn't see it. But yet, you know what? Many of them will be our brothers, and they are our brothers and sisters in the resurrection. And they will raise as being a part of the resurrection, because they could only preach what God illuminated for them to see. But to think now that we are living in the time whenever God has pulled together under the ministry of a prophet the loose ends. And people get all bent out of shape because Brother Branham would read things from Clarence Larkin and from Coke and from all these other ones. And they'd say, oh my Lord, this is blasphemy. Where did you get that nonsense at? Brother Branham told us his ministry was to gather the loose ends. He never said he originated the seven seals or many of those things. He never said he originated a lot of this. He did not do it. It is the concoction, first of all, of many of the message people. And it is the concoction of many of these people that are trying to leave to make Brother Branham look bad. No matter what they do to try to make him look bad, they'll never succeed in the eyes of God or the elect. They'll only succeed in people who, well, you know, just that kind of people that can believe that kind of trash. So if you like trash, it must mean you're a trash head. And you like eating trash. So that's the way it goes. But the elect of God, they come right through, you know, they come through all the winds of doctrine, all the air that comes by. And we realize these things must come to pass. No matter what you and I do to try to stop the apostasy, we will never stop it. We could start having a prayer meeting every night that we don't have church. And we could start having prayer chains in the message around the world for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and pray that God would stop the apostasy, and we might as well pray that God will change the moon, because it will not be answered. It is prophecy. So I want to align my prayers with prophetic understanding. So, can I pray that God will stop it? No, I can't. There's no need for me to pray that God will stop it. But I do pray God don't allow me to be part of it and you to be a part of it. Now, doing that, I can pray properly. So whenever I look at it, I realize for me to try to stop apostasy, I can't even stop it in this church. I certainly cannot stop it in the message. We know that it must come. It has been prophesied. God foresaw it, and it will be, and it is around us. So, what are we going to do? Sit around and have the mully grubs? I'm going to be happy going that way. I don't know what you're going to do. Now, let's look at a few verses in the scripture, if we would, before we get to this after the falling away. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, notice how Paul again, and he emphasizes who it is that's giving this to him. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from. Now, notice what they're leaving. They shall depart from the faith. So they're not departing from denominations. So much of the apostasy in the last days is going to be people leaving the faith. What faith is it? Well, there's not a Baptist faith in the Bible. There's not a Methodist faith in the Bible. There's not a Catholic faith in the Bible. But God identifies the faith, the original faith. And then there is a faith which is error, which people believe wrong. And they believe that just as much as you believe the right. But there is no Baptist faith. Well, it's against my Baptist faith. There's no such scripture for that. So they will fall away from the faith. What is the faith? The faith that was once delivered to the saints. So much of the apostasy of what we're looking at is not just the Catholics. What has the Catholic Church fallen from what they were 500 years ago? Have they fallen much since what they were 750 years ago? Have they fallen much since St. Augustine of Hippo decreed that if anybody stood against the Catholic Church, that they could put him to death? Have they really changed that much since then? Of course not. So the apostasy is not them, but the apostasy is going to be from the faith. Notice he said, some shall depart from the faith. They could never depart from the faith if they never had an understanding of what the faith was, at least partially. So they shall depart from the faith. Now notice what they're going to do. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You mean to tell me that devils actually have doctrines? That demons actually in that realm where they move and where they actually from that realm where they're able to pulsate into the human realm, that they actually have doctrines. Oh yes, they do. Now look at this word. Some shall depart from the faith. The Greek word here is apostasy, and from the word that we get the English word of apostasy. It would probably be so rendered here. The meaning is that they would apostatize from the belief of the truths of the gospel. Now notice what they're going to do. It's not that they're going to say, oh, there is no such a God. I'm going to become a Sikh or a Jain or a Buddhist. Or I'm going to start praying to Allah. No, but they're going to come away and twist the principles of the gospel. Now, Paul runs a parallel of this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. So the way he parallels this in Timothy and in Thessalonians, he's setting it forth that there will be an extensive or a very large apostasy. Now, they will do this, and when they do it, they will then be accompany that, the next thing they will do is giving heed to seducing spirits. So the word seducing is planoi. Primarily it means wandering or roving around. And hoplanos is a vagabond. Now listen what they are. So then they give heed to seducing spirits. They first, they leave the faith, then they give heed to seducing spirits, and they become a vagabond. In other words, they become like Cain. That's the way Cain was. God put the mark on Cain, and he was a vagabond. So he no longer had a home church. He no longer believed the truth of the gospel. Come on now. He no longer had the gospel to be his home and his foundation to where he could say, I stand on that word. Oh, where do you go to church? I don't go to church. I don't believe you even need to go to church. I stay home and read my Bible now. I don't get all messed up. Vagabond. Cain. Mark of the beast. Right. So once they move in, they give heed to seducing spirits to where they pull away from a body. They don't think they need a body. So they pull away from a body. They don't need evangelists. They don't need teachers. They don't need to come to church like this and sit in fellowship, hear the word, shake hands with brothers and sisters. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. So then they pull away. They become a vagabond. Hence, a deceiver or seducer. Now, the extension of this same Greek word is planoon, which means the deceiver, use of Satan in Revelation chapter 12 verse 9 and also chapter 20 verse 10. So you can see that these people are becoming the attribute of what the devil himself is. So they fall to seducing spirits, and those seducing spirits pull them away out from under a body. They become a wanderer, a roamer, a vagabond. They answer to no one. You know, they don't have a pastor. They don't need a pastor. They don't have a deacon to answer to. Leave me alone. Just get away from me and leave me alone. That's a scary spirit for him, because that is exactly what Cain done. Then he goes to the land of Nod, and then he starts civilization. But he first pulls away from what? The civilization that God had ordained to be even on the outside of the Garden of Eden. So God puts this mark of the beast on him. Then he becomes a vagabond. So rather than staying with the Spirit of God where the faith is, then they begin to come under the influence of seducing spirits. Then the next phrase, Paul says, is doctrines of devils, or in the Greek it is actually teachings of devils. Literally, that is, it is suggested by demons. Now watch, so they come under the influence of enticing spirits, and then they begin to hear things from these voices of spirits that are talking to them, and they're suggesting these doctrines that, well, Brother Branham actually wasn't a prophet after all. Brother Branham was a deceiver, and you don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name. After all this, and you know, here they come. You know where this is coming from? It is the suggestions of demons out of hell. Now, these things are actually called by the Bible doctrines of devils. So people that are projecting that women can dress and live any way they want to live, that come from a suggestion of an unclean, filthy spirit out of hell. That's right. They tell you, you can bob your hair and, you know, dress like the world, act like the world. It is doctrines of devils. Now remember, spiritual error is seldom due just by human mistakes. But generally, spiritual and scriptural error will be due to people looking over something in the Word of God and refusing to take that Word. Then when they do, they open up themselves. Now we know, in the sense how they were able to be able to tie this with the man of Gadara. That the man of Gadara, whenever Jesus finds him in a terrible condition, and the man by the time Jesus finds him has a whole multitude of demons inside of him. But as we go back to the sermon of the maniac of Gadara in 1955, we know that this man, he started out by picking up one spirit at a time. He told a liar. He'd done something wrong. And then it opened. Now remember, there wasn't near as many people on the face of the earth at that time. So these demons loved to habitate in human bodies. So they didn't mind if they had to share the same body, but they just wanted to be in a house. So they had one devil after another, after another, after another. And they so engulfed this man's body, his soul, his spirit, his mind, until the man becomes to where he was full of these demons. These demons imparted supernatural strength to this man. These demons took away his mind, but gave him a mind which was of demonic nature. They took him in such control that this man was almost like a Superman or a reversal of a Samson. That God would take a man by the name of Samson and give him a supernatural strength. Legion took this man and gave him a supernatural strength. Now, we don't see much of that so much today because Satan has chose to lay real low and quiet. We see it occasionally. But he's chose to move more in the realm of the realm of religion to where that these people will give vent to all this demonic stuff. How? Facebook, YouTube, you know, forums here. It's why? By their words. They just mouths and mouths and mouths. It's the very same devils, though. It is doctrines of devils. So they refuse the truth, open themselves up to enticing spirits. Then them demons, where at one time they heard the Spirit of God through the ministry of the Word speaking to them, quit this, lay this aside, don't do that no more. But now these doctrines of devils are whispering to them, say, you don't have to do that. That's a bunch of legalism. Our brother Branham wasn't no prophet of God. He's off the word. Why that Donnie Reagan and the rest of them men, they're trying to take something from you. I agree with that. I am. I'm trying to take you out of a hot spot in hell. That's what I'm trying to do for you. I've never asked you for your money. I don't want your wives. I've never asked you for your daughters. Tell me one time that I've asked you for something for myself. I've come to be a servant to you. If I can, I will scream you out of hell. I will jerk you out of hell. I will preach you out of hell. Whatever I've got to do to keep you out of hell is what I want to do. Why? Because I don't want you going to that place. So these teachings that Paul prophesies that will come, it will be teachings that will be inspired by demons. So these demons will whisper either to the men in the pulpit or the man sitting behind his computer and he goes to typing all these things and he gets these thoughts and says, oh my, oh wow, boy, this will get them. This will get that bunch of Branhamites. Does he realize he just got an influence from a demon out of hell? You understand what we're dealing with? This is why you cannot argue some of these people out of what they're into. You cannot talk them out of it. You're wasting your time. They are listening to demons out of hell. And they will never get better until they get out from under the influence of that devil. So you're wasting your time. Those of you that get on there and try to figure this out and figure that out, you're wasting your time. I said, you're wasting your time. And remember, those things are inspired by demons. And they will lure you on there. They will pull you on there so you'll become a part of it. I don't know about you. I'm going to stay off that. Are you scared, Brother Donnie? Not scared at all. I got better things to do. I tell you what I'd rather do. I'd rather go over to the grocery store and buy $50 worth of bubble gum and see how big a bubble I could blow. See maybe if I can make one parachute size to float over the top of the church. Then get on a bunch of them trash websites and waste my time. I'd rather blow bubbles. Praise the Lord. I might make the world book of Guinness or something, you know. I did make the book of Genesis for sure. Now watch, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, but shun. Now notice what they're going to do. He said they're going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And then this is what he warns us to do. But shun. Look at what this word means. Avoid. Turn oneself about for the purpose of avoiding something. Shun profane and vain babblings. You know why I'm not going to waste my time on that? It's contrary to Scripture. It's contrary to Scripture for you to get on there and try to straighten these people out. Shun the stuff. That's what the Bible tells you to do. Well, some of you getting quiet on me already. Now notice, shun profane and vain babblings. Look at the word vain. Empty discussion. Discussion of vain and useless matters. Well, Brother Branham told a story and called the man Daniel Martin over here and over there. He said, Arson McCoy, useless matters. Brother Branham was a man. I'm sorry, some of y'all just found it out. Brother Branham had great gifts, but 100% recall was not one of them. Praise the Lord. Any of y'all ever get your stories mixed up? Really? Are the rest of y'all gods or angels? Praise the Lord. Sure you do. My, what is that? Vain. Wasteless. Useless. That's right. Empty discussion, discussion of vain and useless manners. The Greek word itself refers either to a thing or a person that has no relationship nor no connection with God whatsoever. The verb form that is to profane refers to the act of taking something that is dedicated to God and making it unacceptable to God. Godless chatter. Chatter. Oh yeah, the little pine squirrel. Chatter, 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 chatter. He said Arthur McCoy over here, and he said Daniel Martin over there. He said 47 years here, and he said 57 there. Godless chatter. Chatter, 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 chatter. And what I like to do is set my eagle wings in the wind and go right above that godless chatter and let them chatter right on. Cause the rapture is not for pine squirrels, it's for eagles. Lord. Hallelujah. Can you imagine a little pine squirrel going in the rapture? You imagine that little pine squirrel getting off the ground and him jumping around and trying to... And here comes the rapture power of God sitting in them big eagles and that pine squirrel. Don't worry. They won't be going. A pine squirrel ain't going to get no body change. So Paul says, shun, avoid, stay away from. So Brother Donnie, you scared for your people to get on them websites? Afraid you'll lose some? Any that that trash can pull, you can have them. Any of you that want to follow that garbage, go on. You don't even deserve to sit in this church. If you ain't got no more stability than that, shame on you. Whoa. Now I love the way Paul chooses by the Spirit of God to use these words. But shun profane and vain babblings. The ministry of these teachers are babbling. A voice, great swelling words of vanity, like large bubbles of water. They look big and make a great big noise, but have nothing in them. So Paul said they're like big bubbles of water. Many of you probably don't remember, but it was probably one of the first accomplishments you made as a human being when you was a little baby. Blowing bubbles. Wow, what a feat. What a thing we accomplished. So a lot of these folks have gone back to being babies. They're blowing bubbles. And you know what? All them bubbles that I blowed, they wind up getting my spit all over my face. Come on now, you done the soap, Brother Dolly. That makes me sick. Why? Your own spit make you sick? You done it to yourself. So you realize all this empty, profane stuff, it's nothing but a big bunch of bubbles, and it, man, makes a loud noise. I'll tell you one thing, we're going to bring them down. We're going to do baloney. Bring down a ministry that God ordained for the foundation of the world. Bring down the bride of Christ. It only makes the bride shine out that much more. So what's it do? Gets bubbles on their faces. Now he says, oh my, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now let me say this to you. If I had questions about Brother Branham being the prophet, and I don't. If I had questions about this message being sent from God, and I don't. I wouldn't join these moves that's pulled away from it. I'd rather meet God as a drunk. I'd rather meet God as a liar, a whoremonger, than I would stand before him where some of these people's going to stand. I'd rather meet God as a Baptist. I'd rather meet God as an absolute infidel than I would some of these people that are running down this message and the prophet. Come on, children. Now watch how Paul, by the Spirit of God, we believe, when he goes into this next verse, their word will eat as doth a canker. It's a medical image that Paul is using. That those who engage in this, in these enticing spirits, doctrines of devils, vain babblings, they are giving words to feed gangrene. Now he says in verse 17, their word will eat. And you tell me we don't need to stay away from false teaching? Their word, the word of what? Of enticing spirits and doctrines of devils. Their word will eat like a cancer. Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now look at this, will eat. It means literally will have pasture. So the consuming process of mortification is the image. They pretend to give rich spiritual pasture to their disciples. The only pasture is that of a spiritual cancer feeding on them. Now they're giving words and they're showing flaws and they're giving that. What are they doing? Feeding their people. They've got a following. That's why they're all getting worse and meaner and more like the devil. My, their word doth eat as a canker or gangrene. I don't want to make you sick, but I want you to listen to this. Which gnaws and feeds upon the flesh, inflames and mortifies as it goes and spreads swiftly and endangers the whole body. It is therefore to be speedily taken notice of and stopped. The gangrene is a disease in the flesh of the part which it corrupts and consumes and turns black. Spreading and seizing itself of the adjoining parts. So it starts here and it keeps going and going and going. And here Paul likens false teaching, people's words that are error, to a gangrene.
Lord, help us.
By the microscope. Now this has not been too awful long that this has been found out. The microscope, a gangrene has been discovered to contain an infinite number of little worms engendered in the morbid flesh and which continually producing new broods. So here these little worms get inside the flesh and they're multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. Another batch of worms and another batch of worms.
So where does them worms come from? Doctrines of devils.
So it's what they're feeding on.
Lord Jesus. My, they ought to change the name of some of these websites to the gangrene spot and the living worm site and seek ye the living worms and, you know, some of these other things. Just be honest. Of course, the mystery about it all is they call us the gangrene and we call them the gangrene. But the truth of it is we know who's who. They're just guessing.
Now watch what it does. An infinite number of little worms engendered in the warmest flesh, which continue producing new broods, they swarm and overrun the adjacent parts. If the gangrene proceed to an utter mortification and be seated in any of the limbs or extreme parts, recourse must have the operation of amputation. You say, why do you preach these things? Because I don't want you to lose a hand. I don't want you to lose an eye where you can't see the words. I don't want you to lose an ear where you can't no longer hear the Spirit of God, Brother Jerry. I don't want you to lose a hand that you can't obey the word and have the right hand of fellowship in the right place. I don't want you to lose a foot. I don't want you to lose a leg. I want you to keep who you are.
So the errors and the heresies of false teachers worm and spread and feed upon the souls of men. So they just spread and spread and then poof, they explode again in another generation and another generation and they're getting worse and worse and worse. Mama.
So how come Paul wasn't politically correct and Paul didn't learn his homiletics at preacher school? And how come Paul wasn't really nice and just leave in general terms who these men were? Why would he call anybody's name? Now, I know a great portion of the message preachers don't even believe in this. It's not my fault they don't believe the Bible. bunch of panty-waist preachers behind the pulpit shouldn't be there no way. Handle the Word of God with rubber gloves on. Well, glory to God. I know y'all go to getting scared when I go that direction. Oh, Lord, where's it going? Up. Up. Now, their word. Listen, friends, is this dangerous? Their word, not their actions. What they're saying is gangrene. And then he says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? So he points his fingers to the very cause of this gangrene. And their names have been read for 2,000 years. And this is the way they've went down in history. No more than they deserve. Whew. Do you realize that these people who do this sort of thing, if they are permitted to have free course, it's as if though we are sanctioning and giving them room to grow. So the preachers that think this will just blow away and go away, they're ignorant. For those of you who think this will just blow away, you're ignorant of truth. Praise the Lord. That amazes me about Hymenaeus. Because Hymenaeus had already been a troublemaker. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 20, you'll remember that Paul turned him and Alexander over to the devil because of blasphemy. So he had already been excommunicated from the church. But apparently he made some sort of a repentance. You didn't know that? Yeah, we'll read your Bible. So Alexander and Hymenaeus had already been excommunicated by Paul. He said so they would learn not to blaspheme. Must have been a pretty serious thing. So then Hymenaeus comes back. Must have been a reputation, a man of reputation, a man that would have an influence on the people. So he comes back and now he joins up with Philetus. Don't know too much about Philetus other than he's just a Philetus. And he's identified with the wrong pal. Better be careful who your buddies are. That's exactly right. They say, they always told me, it's just an old Kentucky saying, but it holds on the truth. You lay down with the dogs with fleas, you may get up scratching. I'll tell you one thing, you go to land on these flea websites and you may get up itching all over. And I don't know if I believe this message or not. I can tell where you've been by a while. Right. So here Paul identifies and calls their names. And says, these guys are carrying the plague. Oh my. Longer I go, quieter you all get. Now watch, he goes in verse 18 and he says, who concerning the truth have erred? Who did? Hymenaeus and Philetus. Saying that the resurrection is past already. Now that within itself is amazing, but look at this last phrase. And overthrow the faith of some. Why would anybody listen to this man? Why would anybody listen to him? I mean, he's done been excommunicated. Why would anybody, this man have any credibility at all? It amazes me who people follow. It amazes me how people can identify with people that you look at that God don't even trust them with hardly anything. I like to look and see what God gives a person before I give them much. And if God don't give them much, I'll love them, I'll be nice, but I ain't going to give them a whole lot myself. If God don't trust them, I don't. But yet this man was able to come and Philetus got taught up in the middle of it. So he moves from the blasphemous part that he was into. Now he moves over into saying the resurrection is past. No doubt he was taking quotes that Paul had said. That we're already risen from the dead. That we've done been quickened. And there is no resurrection. And Paul considered it a damnable heresy, a gangrene. But yet they still had an element of persuasiveness, an element of ability about them, and they actually overthrowed the faith of some, and some said, it's done. There's no resurrection. It's already passed. And it actually overthrowed the faith of some, and they left. Can you imagine trading a godly pastor like Timothy? And you take Timothy down from leading you as a shepherd, and you put Hymenaeus. Do some of you realize what you've done? You've taken William Branham, God's prophet, out of that position in your life to interpret the word to you, and you've put up blasphemers. You've put up businessmen. You've put up other kind of men, and they become your absolute. You traded a prophet of God for that. You've traded godly men. Come on, children. Godly pastors, and you would just, you imagine Timothy was a pastor, a real godly man. And Paul said, there's not another man like him. There's not another man that has the same soul that I do. The same mind which is of the same soul. And this man was so much like the truth and projected the truth. And yet here comes Hymenaeus, and there was people sitting right there in that church and said, I'm going to go with him. I'm leaving Timothy. I'm leaving Paul. I'm following Hymenaeus. They might have made even a testimony why I left Timothy's church. Why I left Paul's teaching. Why I left here, left there. Leave. Go on. Because once Judas gets away from us, that's when Jesus will really start taking the covers off, I figure. We'll have to have a little bit of manifestation of Ananias and Sapphira first. But once it does, it'll clear the air. Watch this in 70th week of Daniel. Brother Raymond said, Paul said there cannot be an end time. There cannot be a time to the falling away from the real Pentecostal faith. Now remember, the Baptists as a whole have been gone from their roots. They've never been there. Their denomination was never founded on the real Pentecostal faith. The Episcopalians, the Presbyterian, the Lutheran, the Methodist, all of them was never really founded on the Pentecostal faith. So where will the falling away be that the references is being made to from the Pentecostal faith? Oh, you said UPC. They're not founded on the original Pentecostal faith. Oh, it's the Church of God. And baptizing titles? Can you imagine Peter being a Church of God, a prophecy man? You imagine Paul being an Assembly of God man and baptizing titles? There ain't no way. They're not founded on the original Pentecostal faith. Where is it? The restored message of Malachi 4. The Pentecostal faith will be done away with. And the dignitaries will be set in, and they'll have man that'll take the place of God. Set in the temple of God and oppose himself above the people like that. See what it is? Nico, overcoming the laity. All that's called God, he'll set in the temple. Paul said there'd be a falling away first in the last days. And here we are right now seeing that falling away. And see the church getting further and further away from it and going right back again. We're at the end time. You imagine 1961? What about 2014? Where are we, Brother Jack? If the falling away was going on then, what about now? Again, testimony of a true witness. His word testifies in the last days. There will come a falling away, and there would come up a cold, formal, powerless church age. Oh, they'll have a lot of words. But show me the power. That's what we're living in, a church that has no power, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such embrace, turn away, shun, oh my, shun, turn away. He gives a sign that there'd be times when man would sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he was God, ruling the nations. Now watch this, 1963 is your life word of the gospel. One of the great ambitions, somebody gave me the paper just now, the new Pope has said, is to unite the churches together. Now watch, 1963, 3 months after the seals of priests. Now the Pope that was alive in that time was not going to be the one to do it. But as the anointing was on the earth to get a bride ready for a rapture, so the anointing on the earth was here to get a people ready for the culmination of the son of perdition. Here is Elijah on the earth with a message, and here is a pope on the earth with a forerunning message. What? To get all the people together. He could not do it because the restrainer wouldn't let him.
Amen. He might have felt the urgency of it. He might have known down in the deepest part of his soul, this is what we're going to do one day. But he could not do it because the restrainer said, oh no, Donnie ain't saved yet. Rob ain't saved yet. Pete ain't saved yet. You can't do it yet. It ain't time. Oh my, he said they'll do it just as certain as I'm standing here and the Protestants will fall for it. The Bible said, Paul, the prophet of the Lord said that day will not come except there come a falling away first. And then before the man of sin will be revealed. Don't you see? This cannot come until the falling away comes. If we're here, children, how close is the rapture? How this thing happened, but it couldn't happen until the falling away. It couldn't happen until the falling away. Until the church began to get away from the spiritual feast. Now remember when he preaches, is your life worth it? The gospel, he takes it from the parable in the book of Luke. When a certain man set forth for a supper. And he went and asked all those to come. Come, the supper's not ready. Oh, no, I can't come. I bought me a bunch of cows. No, I bought me a piece of land. I married me a church. I married me a wife. And therefore, I cannot come because my church won't let me. Now, remember, this is what he draws from, is your life worthy of the gospel? Every one of those people proved they were not worthy of this feast. Do you understand? Those that have sat around this word and have turned and walked away, they have proved they are not worthy to feed on this message of Malachi 4. They are not worthy. It makes them sick to their stomach. Everybody, when are you going to quit preaching this? The morning I'm changed. Not before. What's this in the church age? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So this is the message to the church of the last age. This is the condition of the Laodicean church at its end as it ends nears. It is not a personal message to one person. It is the Spirit telling us where Jesus is. Christ has left the church. So we've got more churches now than ever before. More denominations. And Jesus is on the outside knocking. Trying to get in. But they think he's in there. They think he's the head. He's running their church. Not according to the scripture, he's not. Lord Jesus. Christ has left the church. Is this not the logical result or end if the word is put aside for creed? The Holy Spirit disposed for popes, bishops, presidents, counselors? The Savior set aside for a works program or church joining or some type of conformity to a church system? What more can be done against him? You're not doing this against Brother Branham. People aren't leaving this church or any other message and think they're getting it. Me? You're not doing anything to me. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, the Word. Lord, help us. What more can be done against him? This is the apostasy. This is the falling away. This is the open door to Antichrist. For if one come in his father's name, Jesus, and was not received but rejected, then there will come another with his own name, liar, a pretender, and him will they receive. Oh my. Now what is this setting up for? The apostasy of all religious faiths of Christianity. It is making the way for the incarnate Antichrist and the son of perdition. What's in 2 Thessalonians 2:7? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now let us will let until he be taken out of the way. Paul lets us know the very reason the Antichrist cannot do what he wants to do coming to a culmination is because the restrainer is on the earth. Oh my, the influence of the restrainer is universal. It is global. It is multiracial. It is multicultural. It has power over every denomination. It has power over every demon out of hell. No matter how much they want to culminate and crown their pope, they will not be able to do it because the power of the restrainer is so strong. All he has to do is say no. Oh, but the devil said, I want to, I want to, I want to. And the Pope says, I want to be God, I want to be God. And the Holy Ghost says, no. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But can you imagine, friends, when the restrainer is taken and the man of sin is finally released, the world will enter into a stage of sin like it's never been before. Oh, God, don't let me be here. Don't let me be here. You realize what the rapture will be? The reversal of Pentecost. What was Pentecost? The restrainer coming down to live in multiple forms in human beings. Not just in Jesus Christ alone, but in this one and that one and that one and that one. So the Holy Ghost is the coming of the restrainer to seal them and keep them and do all of that. But he's also here to keep the Antichrist from doing what he wants to do ahead of the program of God. So when the restrainer leaves, what does he do? He takes all of those that are sealed in with him. Amen. All of those that are sealed in with him, he will take them. As Brother Ram quotes, what is it? The fourth seal, when he quotes the scripture, said, he that now let us will let. Till he, Christ, God, the church, be taken out of the way, then shall the wicked one be revealed. Where is the restrainer? He's right here in this building tonight. But he's not necessarily in the four walls of this building. But he's sitting in human temples, men, women, boys, and girls. And they have that restrainer inside of them. And as long as you are here, the Pope will never be a crown king. Oh my. What is the restrainer? The Holy Ghost incarnate. So when the restrainer is taken from the earth, what will it be? The reversal of the day of Pentecost. So the pillar of fire come on the earth, divided himself, went here, went there, went there. So what will the rapture be? It'll be the regathering of the licks of fire. And the restrainers coming back, gather that lick, that one, that one, that one. Gather them all together and get them together and get out of here. Amen. Then when the restrainer takes you out, then the son of perdition will be revealed. There's nothing here to hold him back. Lord, children, I cannot imagine what the devil would do to me and you tonight if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost. The way he hates God's children, I cannot imagine the wrath and the vengeance. If he will hunt down the foolish virgins in the tribulation period and will treat them like animals and their pennies compared to you, can you imagine what he would do to you? They're not really even a threat to him now. But can you imagine, Brother Jim, what he would do to you if God would pull back that restrainer? But thank God he won't. I said, thank God he won't. Oh, but Brother Donnie, sometimes I feel like it. You're right. You feel like it, but he ain't. Because if God ever pulled that back away from you, you probably wouldn't live seconds. The devil would kill you. He would plague you. He'd do everything in the world. But remember, as long as the restrainer's here, you're all right. You're covered. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So the restrainer leaving the earth, the removal of the restrainer will be what? The rapture. And when the rapture takes place, it will be the reversal of Pentecost, the pulling together of those licks of fire. And when he leaves, you imagine immediately, not 6 months from then, not 5 months, that very day. That very day. When Satan sees I'm missing, he'll know it's time. When he sees you're gone, he'll know it's time. The earth will feel different. There'll be no Holy Ghost here. The fire's left. The blood's left. The mercy seat. The salt is left. The earth will plunge into headlong into darkness, chaos, sin. It will be a time that Satan has longed for thousands of years. It will be a time that the Catholic Church has sought for since the medieval times. Since they lost control of Jerusalem when they only had it for 200 years. And they sent their Knights of Templar. And they sent all their crusaders to try to get it back again. You know why they could never win that back? You know why the Catholic Church, with all their Knights of Templar, as strong as they were, you know why they could never get it and really maintain that power? The restrainer was here. It makes no sense when you look at the power of the Catholic Church and you look at the Knights of Templar and the Knights of Columbus and all that sort of thing that's been down through the ages and the Rothschilds and all the finance that they've had. They should have had Jerusalem a long time ago. Do you really think they want Rome? Jesus wasn't in Rome. The Holy Ghost never come in Rome. They want Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where the third temple will be. That's what they fought for down through the ages. That's where they desire to be. Why ain't they already got it? Because the restrainer is here. Hallelujah to God. The restrainer is here. He will not let them have it. It's kind of like me. Sometimes the pressure might get so great. Kind of like you. You think, God, I'm going crazy. God, I'm going to lose my mind. But no, as long as the restrainer's here, he might let me get that close, but the restrainer will keep me from it. Amen. I may feel like I'm going to bend under the pressure or bow under the pressure, but as long as the restrainer's here, no, sir, I ain't got nothing to worry about. He's here. He's here to help me. He's here to protect me. Now watch, when the reverse of the rapture takes place, look in verse 8. And then, shall that wicked, the lawless one. That's what the word means, a lawless one. He sets himself above the word. What's the spirit today? Denominations and churches and people, individuals. Watch them. Watch the running under that precursor of this anointing of the Antichrist. Oh, no preacher telling me what to do. I don't care what the prophet said. I'm going to do what I want to do. Go ahead, lawless one. But the children of God want to be obedient. Show a real bride member. They want to set their mark right toward that word. Then shall the wicked be revealed. Oh my, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. I want you to notice his introduction and his destructions in the same verse. Short-lived kingdom, huh? So when he rises to his heights, he's the closest to his destruction. So let him come on. He's wanted this for thousands of years. And God goes ahead and scrunches it together for 3.5 years. Yeah, you'll be revealed, but it won't be for long, buddy. You better eat your cake and have it while you got it. Because I'm fixing to take you and your cake and throw you in the pit. Amen. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Oh, then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, which is his word, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. There's two words used here that Paul mixes them together. Epiphany and parousia, or parousia, wherever you say Greek or English. Epiphany and parousia, or parousia, which are elsewhere used separately to denote the coming of Christ. But here they're used together. And the meaning is that the mere appearance of Christ's presence will annihilate the wicked. Whew. Now let's run a parallel. We got a few more minutes? Antichrist is not a rival Christ. He's an opposing Christ. Now, let's run some contrasts or parallels here in a series, and I'll show you what I mean. Christ came from above. St. John 6:38. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Antichrist descends from the pit. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and overcome them and kill them. So Christ descends from heaven, and this descends up out of the bottomless pit, the abyss, Abaddon. You remember the name there in scripture. Christ came in his Father's name. Now watch as we run the parallel on this. St. John 5:43, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another come in his own name, him you will receive. And whose name will Antichrist come in? His own name. That's right. Jesus says it again in St. John 5:43. Christ humbled himself, Philippians 2:8. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Antichrist exalts himself. Now, if you listen real carefully, you'll be able to identify every church, every religious person, every website, and everything else by these contrasts right here. Praise the Lord. You'll be able to identify yourself, too. Just find yourself and see where you are. Or did you come from above or from down below?
Well, how can I know? Sometimes I think I come from above and sometimes...
Well, listen to your soul talk. Does your soul say amen to every word? Good sign you come from above. But Brother Donnie, my flesh gets in the way. Well, I don't tell you where that come from. That come from down beneath. It's meant to cause you problems. Do you come in your name? Or do you come in your Father's name? Are you more concerned about people thinking you're some great person? Or are you wanting to be impressed with the Lord Jesus or you? Judge yourself, friends. Look at yourself. Right. Christ humbled himself. Do you humble yourself and put down others? Or do you exalt yourself? Or how do you do it? Do you want to go around and tell things on people in order to embarrass them or humiliate them in order to raise you up? Well, you're under the wrong spirit if you do. Can you take the low road even when you're right? Find yourself, friends. Find yourself where you are. Christ humbled himself. Antichrist exalts himself. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Christ was despised. Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Antichrist is admired. Now think about it. What do we want out of this? Do we want everybody to love us, everybody to admire us, everybody to think well of us? Sure, the flesh does. And the flesh is of the devil. You might as well say amen. Your flesh is not born of God.
Well, thank you, Jesus.
Now, Jesus was despised when he came. The Antichrist, Revelation 13:3, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war? My, he's so admired and so loved. Oh, what a great person. And yet Jesus was hated, called Beelzebub, laughed at. And most of us as human beings, if you'll be honest tonight, you know what you'll say? You want both worlds. You want to be in the kingdom of God. You want to be in the rapture. But who likes enemies? I don't. Do I want people to hate me? I don't. And what really cares about that? The flesh more than the soul. Sure, I don't like enemies even for my soul. But the flesh is what, oh, please don't dislike me. Please be a friend to me. Please. That's the flesh. That is, come on, children, that's the flesh. Oh, my. Christ is exalted. Philippians 2:9, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Antichrist is cast down to hell. Isaiah 14:15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Revelation 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which hath deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. Both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Oh, my. Christ came to save. Luke 19:10. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Antichrist come to destroy. Judge websites. Judge forums. Listen, children. Don't be ignorant. Christ came to save and pull out of hell. Antichrist comes to destroy, disturb, confuse. Notice Daniel 8:24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, demonic backing, see. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Christ is the Holy One. Acts 2:27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Antichrist is the lawless one. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall the wicked, which is without law, lawless, a violator of the law, be revealed. Christ is the man of sorrows. Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows acquainted. With grief. Antichrist is the man of sin. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except they're coming or falling away first. And that man of sin, Christ, is the Son of God. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Antichrist is the son of perdition. Let no man deceive you by any means. Notice the falling away's got to come. And then who'll be revealed? The son of perdition. Christ is the mystery of godliness, is God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Amen. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The Antichrist is the mystery of iniquity, which will be Satan manifest in the flesh. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now lives will be left till he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. This man will have such power, of such words. Look at some of his children now. Think of the children after the falling away. I wonder what all has already been moving behind the scenes. Lord willing, we'll look at it in the morning. You'll be so surprised. As I've been studying this week and pondering and looking and thinking and trying to find, Lord, where are we? Where are we? How close are we? And knowing that the very day the restrainer leaves with the bride, the very day Satan must be ready to set up his kingdom on the earth. And so I begin to read from statements from the Knesset and from different rabbis and from Jerusalem Post and things that have been going on for years and years. And agreements that have already been made concerning the Temple Mount. And here the Pope's visit that's to take place next month. I don't know if you realize it or not, but they have agreed to give him a seat. I'm probably going to give him more, but have agreed to give him a seat in a part of a building that is supposedly to be on the site where Jesus had supper with his disciples. So now they're going to give this to the Catholic Church, to where they will own this property on the Temple Mount, which also happens to be in the underground of there, the burial place of King David and Solomon. I wonder where we are. And we're waiting where you can see it right out and plain in the newspaper. It'll never be that way. Look at this man. Look at him. He's cunning. He's cunning. It's been going on for years behind the scenes. Let's stand together. Oh my, Satan's Superman. Boy, you talking about a guy. Whew. No doubt he'd be a great personality. And then that head demon will already be in him. May already be there now. The head demon will be in him. And then when the bride goes up and the accuser of the brethren comes down, I guess that's the way Satan will know it's time to come up. Yeah. He hears us shout and he says, Lord have mercy. Them holy rollers is here. Get out of here. I can't stand that stuff. He goes before the throne of God, accusing, there you are. Say, how did you get here, Dave Swanson? That's his cue. Get out of here. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. But the head demon will already be embodied in Satan's man. The head demon will move out, the prophet said, and Satan will step in. Now it becomes the Superman. Oh, he will say such words.
of peace. With his miracles and signs and all that he can do, and his ability to bring peace, however he'll bring it about on the Temple Mount. Remember, according to the oldest maps that have been found that go back to 1886, the Temple Mount and the way that it was set, and the very temple in the position of the way that it was set, the mosque, the Dome of the Rock, actually remains to this day, according to those diagrams, in the court of the Gentiles. It's closer than we think, friends. We may be looking for this and that and the other. Let's look for Jesus. Let's look for Jesus. How many wants to be ready? Oh, God, I do. The falling away is here. Can we stop it? We cannot. Brother Donnie, you figure your sermon's an idol. Turn people away. I figure it'll make a bunch of them more mad. And they'll look for another reason to, you know, do whatever. But I hope it'll strengthen you. I hope it'll make you stronger. I hope it'll make you more determined. Say, God, thank you for the truth. Amen. Oh, my. Hallelujah. You're talking about a flatterer, a brilliant flatterer, a man that can work strategy, a psychologist. Well, I mean, he'll have words. It'll be just incredible. And the world will swoon at him. Because remember, it won't just be words, but this anointing will be released on him. They'll be released. And there'll be people that even stood against the Catholic Church for years. And all of a sudden, that anointing will move over on them when it went out of her into him. And they thought, why was I so against them? They've got so much love. We're all brothers. We all need to come together. But let me tell you something. There'll be thousands, maybe even millions of Gentiles that will withstand that move. That's why when you do a search on some of this stuff, you look. It ain't just message people. It's all kind of people that see it. Look, Chick Publications that had them little old things years ago that we had back there in the library. Look on YouTube. You see all kinds of people. Some of them people, I don't see how they're living. I don't see how they've kept from just popping their head off because they see some stuff and say some stuff much more plain than many message preachers I've ever heard preach it. But you know why? Because that part of the truth is not only for us. It don't really even affect us. We're not going to be here. So they need to know it. They've got to be aware of it. Thank God for them. God bless them. May God help them to get it out and warn their brothers. While we're getting ready to... The tribulation's bearing down. The devil may think he's got this eagle down in a blowdown. But just watch her, devil. Watch her when that rapture power and the restrainer says, now, children, now. And the restraint of gravity loses its hold on our body and gray hairs and wrinkles and old age. Oh, my. Amen. And that power that's been in you since you got the Holy Ghost to create a new world, that Holy Ghost inside of you will create a brand new body. That's my new world. That's my new world. Amen. I don't want a new Mars or a new Saturn. I want a new body. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for your truth, Lord. Father, I'm so grateful that you allowed Paul to write these words so many years ago. I'm grateful, dear God, that down through the ages, you had men, even though they remained Trinitarians and remained all kinds of things, they were able to see that old system and identified that church right there in Revelation 17. Oh, God, thank you. I thank you for each of them, Lord, today that know that little bit of truth and they're walking in it, doing all they know to do. They're warning their brothers. It's Lot screaming out now at the doors of Sodom to get their brothers ready. Lord, there'll be many of them that'll come out of that tribulation. These are they that came out of great tribulation. They have washed the robes. Oh, yes, they'll come out of there. Lord Jesus, I pray, may you help us, Heavenly Father. that we can be ready for this great day. It's heartbreaking, Lord. Some of these folks have had family members, brothers, sisters, moms, dads, whatever more, that one time stood in this word, this message, and loved it and listened to tapes. Now, God, they're gone blasting it. Lord Jesus, I pray. May you help, Lord. If some of them out there is pulled away and they can return, may your mercy be extended to them. For others of them, we cannot pray, for the sickness is unto death. For some of them, no doubt their names have already been removed from the book of life. Oh God, Lord Jesus, may you hide us. May you protect us, Lord. If our brothers turn against us, our mama, our daddy, whoever more, may we stand for truth, Lord Jesus. Apostasy's here. It may intensify, but may we be found standing for truth, Lord. May we love you now more than ever, Lord Jesus. Lord, this message didn't make me fall in love with Brother Branham. It made me fall in love with you. I love you now more than I've ever loved you. This message helps me to understand you in a greater way. I've never asked for one prayer in the name of William Branham, and I would never do such blasphemy. I've never cast out a devil in the name of William Branham, never baptized in his name, and I would not do so. It would be heretical to do so. For he taught us that if he could accomplish one thing in his life, that he would be able to draw people closer to you and establish them in a relationship. That's what he wanted. He did not want people to go to Branham Tabernacle and make a bunch of Branhamites or just people that followed him. He wanted people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, sure, the world will call us Branhamites. Let them call us that. We don't care. Everybody's following somebody. We're just glad we're following the right somebody. Help us, I pray, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, when the falling away passes through, Lord, it's coming through churches in Louisiana. It's passing through Europe. It's passing through Norway. It's passed through Canada, passing through Tennessee, Virginia. Lord, it's going through. It's left some in the dirt. It's left some to where now they don't even believe in God. It's left some where they've turned back to Trinitarianism. But when it all passes and the dust is settled and the wind is calmed, the bride will be standing there still waving that flag of redemption. Talking about you and how great you are and how wonderful you are. When the falling away moves through, Lord, we won't be raising our hands and worshiping Brother Branham. We'll still be worshiping you the way we've always done. We'll still be casting out devils in your name and baptizing in your name, because that is the original faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. We worship you tonight, Lord God. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Children, are you glad tonight that the apostasy has moved through and you're left standing? Oh, there may be more that'll go. No doubt there will. But you know what? The real believers. My, but Brother Donnie, can you answer all these questions? No, sure can't. Can't answer them at all. Just like I can't answer many questions in the Bible. But I believe it. You believe it with me?
Amen.
Go to explain to me how God began. Where did God come from? Where did God originate? Explain all that to me. You can't do it. Don't even try. Just believe what he said. I'm glad my faith will allow me to believe. I'm glad I'm not a smart, intellectual businessman that thinks he knows so much about God that he has to figure it all out. I'm glad I'm a simple little person that just takes God at his word. I believe, I don't know how in the world that Elijah could, of chariot of fire could come down and take that man up. I don't know. I don't know how Lazarus could be laying there 4 days and his nose fall in and his flesh already rotten. And I don't know how Jesus could speak and he'd come forth, but I believe it. I don't know how that these things could happen, but I believe it's the truth. How could God roll back the Red Sea, Brother Gene? I don't know. How could God be able to rain manna out of heaven? I don't know, but I believe it. I can't explain how could God change me as a boy and be able to keep me all these years? How can God change you? I don't know, but I've seen him do it.
I believe. I'm not so much an understander. I'm a believer. I'm not so much an explainer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a theologian. I'm a believer. Say it with me. I'm a believer. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're so grateful, Father, that we're believers. That we believe your word, Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's worship him now just a little bit before we go. Oh, my. Surely he's worthy of our praise. He's done so much for us all. Amen. Sing something for us. Hey, let's worship him now. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We adore you. We bless your name tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, my Father.
With all my strength, with all I am,
with everything I am. Many of you know Brother West has really been having a battle with his blood pressure. And they've had to give him so many different medicines, and just the doctors are at their wits' end. They really don't know. I guess as of the other day, yesterday, when I talked to him, they still hadn't found out exactly what the cause of it is. He's really been battling. You know how that is when you battle things physically? Satan will try to make you battle things in your mind. How many believe Jesus is here?
Amen.
Here. Amen. Right here. Jesus is right here. You going to believe with me tonight? Take this handkerchief back. Heavenly Father, I lay my hands on Brother West tonight. And I join my faith with him and the rest of these saints and those saints that are streaming this service. Our brother needs a miracle, Lord Jesus. Dear God, you see they've given him these different kinds of medicines. And still, Lord, it hasn't brought what they want to see, his blood pressure. He still has to watch it. That devil's been able to hide from the doctor.
Yes, Lord.
But he can't hide from you tonight, Lord. We agree together on the promise of the Word of God that by your stripes, our brother has already been healed. I simply lay my hands on him, Lord God, in obedience to your Word. And we join our faith together as a group of believers. Oh, glory to God. I speak to our enemy. Satan, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no claims on my brother. He's a servant of the Most High God. Hallelujah. You have no claims on him, Satan. Oh, you're allowed to aggravate us and you're allowed to hit at us every now and then. But right now in the name of Jesus, I command you to take your hands off of my brother. Lord God, we know, Father, that you are everything we have need of. We're not just asking that the numbers would come down. We're not asking, Lord, that the symptoms would get better. But we're asking that the cause would be eliminated. So, Heavenly Father, we want to apply the cure to the cause and not apply the cure to the effect. In the name of Jesus Christ, may our brother be made well to the glory of God. Lord, we're believing for a testimony of the miraculous power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You love him, saints. You believe Jesus is here? Is he here to meet your need? To meet your desire? Whatever you have need of. Look, children, don't leave out of here tonight. Some of you feeling, I feel it. I feel it right here tonight. That spirit of fear. preaching this kind of thing and you get scared. Don't you walk out of here with that devil on you tonight. You refuse to say, you devil, that is not me. You're a liar. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm not a Cain. I'm not an unbeliever. I'm not an infidel. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. Don't you walk out of here with that thing on you tonight. You say, Satan, you are a liar. I'm a child of God. Amen. Don't let the devil anoint you with that. You look at what you are from your soul. But Brother Donnie, I've made mistakes. That has nothing to do with who you are from your soul. Look at your soul. Do you love God with all of your heart? You could not do that if you was not predestinated to life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. Chose to die. The Son of God, they would not deny. Like a great angelic choir sings, I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to with all my strength, with all I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the land. Now the years have come, and the years have gone, and the cause of Jesus, it still goes on. And our time has come.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
To count
praise
the cost,
your name, Lord Jesus.
To reject
praise
this
your
world
name, Lord Jesus.
And
oh,
embrace
yes,
the cross.
One by one,
let us live. Give us life till the trumpet sounds
on that final day.
Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with
all my
strength. I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Oh, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength.
Praise.
be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice.
at the feet of Jesus.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. When I hear things like this, it just makes me feel like going home. I'm going home. I'm going soon. Every day I realize I'm not fitted to live in this world. But one day, it's when sin will arrive to its culmination before headship of the Son of Perdition will arrive, and God will look at it and say, no more. I cannot stand for her to live there another day. Praise God. Oh, how long for that day? Don't you? I'm going home. Let's sing it now. I'm going soon. I'm going where I... Why? That's where I come from. That's where I come from. Amen. Amen. Oh, I've always been a stranger here. But now I'm sing the chorus together again now, everybody. Oh, I'm going home. The bride's going soon. I'm going where I belong. Praise the Lord Jesus. You see, I've always been a stranger here, but now I'm going home. It may seem strange to you, but I can remember the first time God started dealing with me. We lived, was very, very poor.
We lived in an old house. I was sleeping in the back bedroom. Mama come in there that night to cover me up because it got real cold in there. We had a warm morning stove, and y'all know what that is? So we had the warm morning stove in the living room, and when the fire went out, well, of course, it got cold in all the rest of the rooms. So Mama come in to cover me up. And I don't know why, Brother Jerry, but I've been thinking about death that day. And that's probably 11, a little bit before 12. I got to thinking about death. I don't know why. And I said, Mama, do all of us have to die? Mama wasn't serving the Lord. Daddy wasn't serving the Lord. Yes, Donnie, we got to die. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I started crying, laying there in that dark room. And I said, Mama, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. What was it? That little spot of eternal life. Glory to God. Then it wasn't long after that, Mama went back and dedicated her heart to the Lord. And I asked her, you've heard me tell it many times, Mama, how do you get saved? But I think that's the way the Lord started dealing with me. What about death and life? Brother Ben, remember him talking about it? He said that was that little spot. He said, I'd lay here. And he said, I didn't want to go to the house because all the drink and stuff that was going on. And he said, I built a fire right here last winter. He said, I coon hunted and done all that. Little fire, where did you come from? I built a fire right over the top of you last winter. Where did you come from? Glory. He said, it was another William Branham.
Glory.
It was that little spot of eternal life. Amen. Aren't you glad that little spot was inside of you? Amen. This is why you feel this way when you talk about going home. Why? Because there's something in you that came from home. There's something in you that came from there. It's real to you, friends. Other people sing about heaven. It's like the connection. It's not there. It's true. The connection is not there. They're not going to their home. They're going to yours. They will be allowed to live in your home, but it never originated as theirs. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing it together as we prepare to go. I hope you enjoyed the word tonight. It was a help to you, strength to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Service in the morning has come expecting again of the table of the King. There'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more heartaches forever. Never again. Never again. Oh, Lord. Oh, no more crying. No more dying.
strength.